Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching again on spiritual jurisdiction. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's been just a lot of things God's been dealing with me over in this area, looking at these things. Hallelujah. You know, God's moving us in line of some things. I was, you know, some of the things I was listening to, Billy Brim was talking about, listening to those, the messages that she had done in the Hammonds Church. And there's some certain things that she said and reminded me back, some things that Charles Capps had made mention of, and also back with Dr. Roy Hicks and different ones, dealing in the areas with time. And we really have to understand the time that we're in. And, you know, there's over certain periods of time, it seems that, you know, the church has gotten away with things. But in these last days, we got to move into our place to where we belong. The church has to get back in because this time thing is so important. Is moving, you know, right in line with the time that God's in. God's been dealing with me with this spiritual jurisdiction because many Christians are outside of God's plan and outside of God's purpose. And God's desire to bless His people, but people are going to have to come in line with things. And, you know, especially here in the last days, it's about coming back and getting in line. You know, it don't matter how things have gone for you or what in the past or for people in the past, you know, you can change that in an instant if you decide to get in line. You can change that in an instant. And that's the whole thing. This is the wonderful thing about God's plan and purpose. If you decide to get back, you want to get in with what God's doing and get back in His plan, you can just make a decision that you want to do that. Nobody can make that for you. And we're dealing with these spiritual jurisdiction. We had taught on what the devil's jurisdiction, he has certain rights and things. And if you get over in his area, he has certain rights to you. And we talked about last week, we started into God's jurisdiction. And God has, you know, set up guidelines and things for himself. You know, the Bible says, you know, it's impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. In other words, God has established for himself some things and some parameters that he operates in. It tells us from the scriptural standpoint that you know, concerning if you and I want to please God, we're going to have to do it. It says by faith. It says it's impossible to please him without faith. So God has requirements of things. There's many things people are trying to do to please God. You know, I've heard people do this already, and I've heard him pray. I've heard him tell me this. Well, if I told God if he'd do this for me, I'd do that for him. That's unpleasing to God. You know, you go sit around bargaining with God. God, you know, if I'll do this good thing, and then you owe me this one. That's not the way it works. It goes by faith. It operates by faith. You and I can receive the goodness of God by faith. If you're asking God that he owes you something because you did a good work, that's a slap in the face to God. You know, God don't owe you a thing. What he gave to us was on the basis of grace. If he would have gave us what we earned, all of us would be lost for eternity. That's what we did. That's what we earned. You know, and God wants us to do good things. But understand this, you don't get things from God because you just do some good things. It's because you follow His Word, and His Word is designed for the whole purpose so He can bless you. If you stay within His parameters that He laid down, you walk within His jurisdictions that He laid out. And, you know, we need to understand. I read, a scripture from Psalm 78, verse 41, spoke about Israel, and it said, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. In other words, they limited God. And one of the things that we want to do, because you and I don't want to limit God, do we? You and I don't want to limit God and what He's able to do for you. You know, because we run into things in life that you need God's help. And so you don't want to be limited in any way. And last week we went over and we began to look at the story of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son is a wonderful picture of God's jurisdiction and Satan's jurisdictions. And we found out some things in which we need to understand and we need to comprehend and know about it. Because, you know, most people just have ever taught that. Most people have only ever heard it from the standpoint of God's forgiveness. That's wonderful, but you got to understand the whole story. The forgiveness came when the guy did his return back. When he decided to go back home, the blessing of God was for him when he returned, not when he was out in the pig pen. Understand that. Many times people are in the pig pen, and what happens is they have never repented. And repentance is this. Repentance is a turning around and heading in another direction. When we're living wrong or doing wrong, it means this. If to repentance would mean to turn around and head the right direction, start in doing the right thing. We found in the story, and I'll just go with quickly reading down to it, because today we want to go to the second part of it. There's something there that the Lord told me to share with you. It's not specifically on the areas of jurisdiction, but it'll help you understand, some Christians understand why things ain't working for them. It says, a certain man had two sons. This is Luke 15, verse 11. It says, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. You notice that? No one gave him anything. I want you to understand, God didn't give him nothing. Do you see that? No one gave him anything. Do you know God operates in the earth and does things? He does it most time through people. See, he's out there in a land, and he's out there in a land where God ain't. Where God's not. He's out there in that land. He knew better, but he's out there in that land. And it says, nobody gave him anything. It says, but when he came to himself, he finally woke up. He came to himself and said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father's house and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now you notice he didn't say this. He didn't stop and say, you know, I'm going to send my dad a letter and ask him to send me a check. I'm out here really in trouble. Did he say that? See, most people consider, well, you know, this is what most people do. You know, people go out here and get in trouble. And then they go around to try to get somebody to help them out of their trouble by taking care of the situation while they stay in the pig pen. Oh, yeah. And that's what the church world does most of the time. They will leave people in the pig pen saying, we're helping them. Yes, we help them stay in the pig pen. You know, living in the pig pen, you can send all the checks you want. You know what pigs would do if you sent them a check? That's what people are just like, the pigs in the pen. And you know what they'll do with it? They'll just waste it and squander it, and it'll be gone. And they're in the same condition they were when we started off. It's the same. The condition doesn't change. There has to be a turning around. This guy turned around, didn't he? He said what he was going to do. He recognized that what he had done, and you know, the word sin means to miss the mark. He realized he missed the mark. In other words, what he was doing was causing an outcome he didn't like. That's why you got to change. Repentance is about changing the direction you're going. You're going to have, because if you want a different outcome, you're going to have to do something different. He decided, my God, the hired servants back at my dad's place are living better than what I'm in out here and doing this. My words, he said, man, I'll be a hired servant. Dear Lord, live better life back with dad. And so he changed his direction. He said what he would do. Said he arose in verse 20, came to his father when he was still a great way off. He said his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want you to grab a hold of that fact. This is a picture of God dealing with his children. This is what it's about. And what does he do? When the father saw him, on the fact when he returned and heading back, when the father saw him, then the father went to him. Then the father did not go to him in the pig pen. He had to come to God. We read a scripture last week, you know, it says where it says, draw near to God and he will draw nearer to you. See, many people are waiting for God. People out here in the world are living out here, and I see Christians, they're living out here. They're living in a mess, and their ass keep yelling for God, help, help, God, help, help, God. Yet they never move toward God. They continue on their same path, continue doing the same things, yet they have never moved toward God. Their idea of moving toward God is, God, send me a check. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. But they have not made a move toward God. I've learned this over the years. If you want something from God, you got to start pressing into God to get it. You have to start moving in. I've learned over the years a revelation of things I needed to understand and know. I had to start pressing into God more to get an answer. God, just don't go out there just because you want to know something and just casually, you know, you just go on your own way and say, ask God a question and He's going to come and talk to you about it. It doesn't happen like that. It's just drawing near to God. He draws near to you. And I found over time that when I would want to know something, it usually required me to drawing near to God, to start to talk to God about it, start spending time, you know, like you really want to know. Most people today, I've noticed this around in Christianity, I'm not saying people here, but people generally do this about God in Christianity. What they do is they want answers to questions, but they never draw near to God. What, they very seldom ever show up for church. They very seldom, you know, ever go after anything of God, you know, or anything. But they'll come for counsel. You know, counseling's a waste of time for a person ain't drawing near to God. You're just a waste of time. If a person's not drawing near to God, you're wasting your breath talking to them. Because it's casting pearls before swine. They are not drawing near. God's not going to throw out His revelation to them in their life when they, what they want. You go seek God, you get the answer, then you give it to me. Then I'm going to get the benefit from it. I am sorry, it does not work that way. We need to let people know that. You know, we have this idea, people today, that, oh, you come to Jesus, your life's going to get straightened out. Man, has that been wrong? Loads of people have come to Jesus and lives never get straightened out. It requires something of us. You know how you come to Jesus? The Bible tells us in Romans, first of all, you're supposed to believe that He's Lord. Means He's in charge. Well, most people never accepted Jesus, never put Jesus in charge of nothing. They're in charge of everything. Jesus ain't nothing but a Santa Claus, and you know, you get stuff from whenever you need some help. And He's the guy that comes along and does, but they've never made Him Lord. And so we need to understand, if you don't do the right things, you're not going to end up in the right spot, or you're not going to get what you need to know. And we need to know this. It's like today, we're going to draw nearer to God. Today is not, there's Christians that have gotten away with stuff for many years that are not getting away with things now. And they are, because I tell you what, these are the last days, you better be drawing near. We better be getting near. Hallelujah. Why? Because this is one thing, heaven's getting near us. But I want you to know this. Heaven is at the door, and most of Christianity thinks everything's still the same. They have no clue. They don't know how close we are at the door. It's not just us moving toward heaven. Heaven's moving toward us. Most Christians don't even know it. Their Christian life hasn't changed at all. It's the same as it always was. They have no clue that heaven's getting closer, but it is. And we want to walk in the light. You know, and I just encourage you, just like this son. He made a change and he came back. The son told the father that he sinned against heaven. He said, in your sight, I'm not worthy to be called your son. He said, but the father said to the servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. He said, put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And he said, and let us eat and be merry. For he says, my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, it says, and they became merry. It said last week, if you look at the fact, the father said this son was dead. Now, he wasn't physically dead. But you know, separated from him, and we need to understand this with God. Christians living outside in Satan's territory and living and doing his thing are dead to God. They are blinded by darkness. They can't see the truth. Did you ever run into a person who's a Christian, born again, who had walked in the light for some time, then they turn around, they get over in sin, and they live in sin? After a while, it's just like they can't understand a thing. You talk to them about stuff, and they don't get it at all. They'll insist they're all right the way they are, and you know they can't see. They can't see a thing. They're stumbling around over stuff, swearing they're okay. See, he was in a land. He knew what to do right, but he was out there in darkness, and really, he's dead to God. When did he see them as alive again? When he came back. He's alive again. Now, we need to see that because there's boundaries of jurisdiction for God's blessing. God's blessing did not extend to the pig pen. Why? Because he went to another land. He was over in the devil's kingdom. He's over there. He's born again, but it matters not. He's living in the devil's kingdom. The devil has a right and has jurisdiction over him. See, if you went today and you went down to Cuba and you flew to Cuba, when you landed in Cuba, now you're under the jurisdiction of the Cubans. I don't care how American you are. And you need to understand that. The kingdom of God's the same way. We can't go over into Satan's kingdom, practice his stuff, and get over in there. If we want the blessing is within the kingdom of God. Now, this son got restored from the standpoint. Now, understand, he got restored. He didn't get restored by his faith other than the fact he returned, because he saw himself coming back as a servant again. But we need to understand God really by mercy. So we see it's really the mercy of God. This is grace in action. God's mercy gave him something that he didn't deserve. He knew he didn't deserve it. He knew he didn't, but grace gave him something, and that he received it by the mercy of God. That's fine, but as a Christian, I don't want to be living just by the mercy of God. Most Christians live and die only by the mercy of God. They never walk like a child of God. They never live in the land of faith. And this is what we want to look at is with this the next son, because all these people always teach this stuff about unforgiveness, and it's not about unforgiveness. It is not about his brother. It's about him and his attitude toward his dad. We need to understand what this story is about. In verse 25, that chapter says, "And his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safely and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found.'" Now, I want you to understand this is what's taking place here with this thing. Now, if we would use this as a picture of Christian, what we have is a Christian, one first Christian strays away from God and gets away from God, isn't walking with God and returns to God, and God's excited about it. The next one is a picture of this. It's a picture of a Christian who's never strayed away from God. A Christian who has lived within the boundaries and he's following the word from the standpoint. He's not out doing things wrong. He's living within God's jurisdiction, but you need to understand this about him. He's not being blessed like he could be. He's not blessed. He's waiting for the Father to give him stuff. He's sitting around. He don't understand how the system works. He don't know how things work in the kingdom. He really doesn't know his dad. He hasn't got to know his dad. He doesn't understand what's going on. Number one, if he knew his dad, he knew what his dad's response would be if his brother came back. My God. Hey, I've lived this stuff, folks. Wanda and I, one time years ago, Wanda and I, we knew this woman, and she used to always, you know, go around. She'd never really stay in any one church very long, but she'd go around. She'd always ask people to pray for her husband because her husband wasn't saved, and she would always do this. Personally, I could never stand being around the woman. I knew that she was 90% of her husband's problem. I found this many times that Christians were a lot of the problems of why sinners stay sinners. Well, she used to always ask people to pray, and I thought, my God, if God, you know, if the devil don't kill her, he probably never gets saved. Well, God was better than what I thought about it. But anyhow, Wanda and I, we were on the south side of town. We were in the Wise supermarket out there. We had stopped in there to pick some things up. And this is numbers of years ago. And we were in there, and we run into this woman. She runs, and she comes up, and she's mad. She's talking and just a bit. Now, she'd been praying all these years. Her husband gets saved. Now, God saved her husband, and she's mad. How can he just forgive him of all the things that he did and all the stuff and just forgive him just like that? And you know, guys know how what a sweetheart I am about things. I just, you know, I talked to her real nice and sweet. I said, you know what, you big blowhart. I said, you've run around church. I always say, I'll pray for my husband. And I said, you know what? You didn't care about him at all. I said, this was all about you. I said, man, if anybody needs saved out of the bunch, you did. I said, God saved your husband. You should ought to be the most excited person around. But I said, what's going to happen now? What are you going to go tell people to pray for all the time? Poor old me. I said, you just lost your, you know, the fire you had. Now everybody's going to find out what you are. I said, that's what this is about. But see, people do this kind of, I've seen people do this kind of stuff. They get angry. God blesses. I've had people do this already. God bless somebody. And they weren't, you know, living the best there was, but God blessed them. And they got mad. Why would God do that for them? And what about me? Look, why don't I have, you know, I don't, most time don't say anything because I know they ain't ready to hear nothing anyhow. Because they don't understand. They're like this guy. This guy doesn't understand what he's living under and where he's at. He doesn't understand his father's household. He doesn't understand how his father runs things. And most of the church world does not know either. Most of the church world today lives identical to this guy. Now, you might hear them getting mad. They don't get mad about something. But they're living in wonderland. They don't understand why something works for somebody and something don't work. And this is how all this religious stuff gets made up. You get new Christian religion. This is how people come along. Well, sometimes God wants a person to have problems, this problem. Sometimes God don't. Sometimes God heals a person. Sometimes he don't. Is because they have no clue how the system works. They don't know how it works. This young man was living within the jurisdiction of his father. He never transgressed. He never broke a commandment that his father, anything his father wanted him to do, he did. In other words, we could say this, from the word of God, from what he knew, he was obeying his father. But the whole thing of he didn't understand and know, to get things in the kingdom of God, they don't fall on you. You got to walk by faith. The father made a statement. Now just think, this son has lived with this father all these years and did not know this. He didn't know that all his father had belonged to him. That's the majority of Christianity today. Most of Christianity today doesn't know that all that God has belongs to them. The father didn't have to give him a goat. He owned all the goats. They were his. His father didn't have to give him a fatted calf. Why would dad? You know, it'd be like me walking up today and say, you know, Mike, I want to throw a birthday party for you. Would you give me your checkbook? When I said, Mike, we said, well, hold it. You're going to throw it with my... This is what he was doing to his dad. Dad, I want you to understand. His brother is living outside the kingdom. God has mercy bringing him in. In the kingdom, if you want anything, you're going to have to act in faith. You're going to have to receive. Jesus told us concerning the kingdom. When you pray, you believe you receive it and you'll have it. You believe it. It has to be given to you or you couldn't believe you received it. You can't believe you receive anything that ain't been given to you. This young man here is what he wanted. He's out here working, but he's no different than any of the servants in his field. He's living like a servant. He's not living like a son. That's why he didn't understand what his dad did to his brother. He thought that was outrageous. He didn't realize the whole time he could have been living a whole lot higher level than he was, but he chose not to. He didn't know the Father. You got to get to know God. You're not going to get to know God through all this religious junk that's going on out here and all this religion. You're not going to get to know God through that. You need to come to know Him. We were singing today about knowing God. Man, is there anything that needs to be done in the church world today? The church world needs to learn to know God. He is so much better than they ever put Him up to be. I don't care how they've said nice things about Him or whatever they've done. He is better. He is much better. And what this father said, everything that I have belongs to you already. Well, then what do you do? How do you act if it already belongs to you? See, he's been living, even though he's been living at home, he is no more than a servant in the father's house. That's all he is. He's just a servant. Walking around there, getting whatever handout he can get. And soon as he sees somebody get blessed, I don't get it. I'm out here working like crazy and I don't get it. And I've watched along. I watched along to Christianity, and this thing goes on. And what happens? I've had people come to me and tell me to my face, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at God because this happened or that happened, and they're mad at God. And I always just tell them, well, you ain't going to get far doing this. You stay mad at God, you're going to stay in your trouble a whole lot longer. But the reason people get mad at God is because of their ignorance. You couldn't have knowledge of God and get mad at God. You couldn't do that. It's because of always ignorance. People are ignorant about what goes on or what happens. And so one of the things that you want to do, and the Lord spoke to me about this morning, there's the thing that you want to do is you want to learn to develop is to walk by faith in the kingdom of God. You want to learn to be one of the persons that you submit to God. It says you submit to God, you resist the devil, he flees from you. You've got to be a person in submission to God. That's James 4, verse 7 and 8. And verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It says, cleanse your hearts, you sinners. He's writing to Christians. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, Christians, we need to clean up our act. We need to draw near to God. We need to do those things. That's what this young man was doing. The first one, he got out into sin. He's over here looking, I can go back to Father. Daddy's good. The guy that's living with him don't know how good Dad is. He doesn't know how good Dad is. That's a shame, isn't it? I see it all the time in Christianity, and I think, man, you see, we're into Christians and things are going through, and you think, my God, if they only knew how good God was. They don't know. They're trying to get from God like, you know, they're the servant just trying to get something from the master. No, I'm sorry. You know, the Bible tells us we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus ain't begging from Dad. What are you begging from Dad for? Jesus said that anything you ask the Father in his name, he'd give it to you. That's what Jesus said. That wasn't nice words on a page. That's true. They're not nice things just said to make us feel real good for a time and then go out and get in trouble and say, oh boy, I'll tell you what, life's hard. I'll tell you, this is, you know, it's true. That's the way our daddy is. Hallelujah. You can ask anything in his name and he will give it to you. And so living on that level, when you're out here in this area, one of the things that we need to know as Christians, why it's so important to live in the area of God's jurisdiction and have knowledge of that area, not just to be live in it. You know, we have many good Christians today, wonderful Christians, and they live within the area. They're not bad people. They don't go out, you know, they're not, you know, committing all kinds of sin or anything. They're good people, but they don't ever go very far from a standpoint because they don't know. They don't know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't know about the blessings of God. They live in that boundaries, but they believe God makes you sick for a reason. They're nice people and good people. They don't do ugly things, but they live in that area. And there's one thing. They are limited on how they can bless people. They're limited. And they will be limited in their own lives on things. Because you want to learn, and you've heard me talk about this quite often, you want to learn to walk in the knowledge of the truth for the sake of other people. I'm just going to put it blunt. If you don't, you're selfish. If you're just living to get what you can from God and have your good life, you're selfish. We live this life for other people. I'm one of the greatest blessing is living this life for somebody else. That's the greatest blessing. It's a low-level thing to live just for my blessing. And just to use an example, the Lord told me to use this today. I've used this illustration before times, but I've had it happen on a number of different things, but specifically with this revelation. Years ago, Wanda's grandfather, he's years ago passed on, and when Juan and I first were going together and then we got married, you know, I had met them when we were going together and that stuff. And his grandfather, and from what I always knew of her grandfather and that stuff, he was having health problems and different things like that were going on. And over time, then we got, Wanda and I were going together at that time, but later on I got born again. So I got born again, and so my perspective about life changed a lot. And I'll never forget, he ended up in the hospital. His health, you know, over the years was not good, and he ended up in the hospital. They were talking about him dying, and so I went to the hospital first, and I sat down and I talked with him, and I started talking to him about Jesus. And I'll never forget him look at him. Now, this man really never had anything to do much with, that I ever knew of, anything to do with God. Never went to church that I knew of or anything like that. Didn't do it. But he began to tell me how he had went there back years ago when he was a young man. Him and his family lived in North Dakota, and they were farming in North Dakota. And he said about they had a revival in the town, this small town by there. This church had a revival, and him and his wife went down and accepted Jesus Christ at the altar. It was amazing because when he talked about that, he actually lit up. I had never seen a man like that. In all the years that I did know him up till then, I had never seen him like that. He literally lit up when he talked about going down there for accepting Jesus. I mean, he talked about, you know, this revival was going on. He said, really, you know, he didn't know much about God. But from his standpoint, he knew this was a move of God. Something happened, and he got saved. And I'll never forget leaving the hospital. I was in the Good Samaritan Hospital and visiting him. And I never forget walking out the parking lot, getting in the car. I sat down in the car, and I said, God, what is this mess? I said, this man's been a Christian all this time, and look at this mess. And the Lord said to me, this is what happens to people who accept me and then don't walk in the light of it. This is the way their lives turn out. He said he never walked in the light of his salvation, and he's had nothing but a mess. The Lord said that to me. See, I can tell a lot of people that's what their mess is. You know, they have light in a certain... Here's one thing you need to know. The more you... If you want to gain light about God, you're going to have to walk in it. You can't learn, let God teach you things, and then you go off and just go live something else. Because it's going to cost you. It'll cost you. It cost him. Now the whole thing I want to talk about is reaching somebody else or doing something for somebody else. Because it wasn't long after that time. He had gone to the hospital. He had went home. But then he started things turn. And the doctor said they couldn't do any more for him. There was nothing else to do. And they moved him to a nursing home to die. That's what they moved him there for. He needed care all the time. And they moved him there to die, and they were, you know, it wasn't going to be they moved him there and he was going to live a month or two. They're freaking moving him there and he's going to die. And so they give us a call and they tell us that, you know, that Wanda's grandpa, they let her know that he's dying. And so they had him in the nursing home down in Campbelltown. And so we drove from Lebanon and we went to Campbelltown. And I'll never forget walking in the room. And what they did is they had put him in a larger room by himself so family members could come in and see him. They were, you know, didn't restrict anybody. He's going to die. He's leaving. And I'll never forget walking in that room. I mean, when I walked in that room, the spirit of death was so strong in that room. I mean, I walked in a room, and I mean, I just know it. I mean, just, man, death is here. And, you know, it was one that you're trying to pray. I mean, everybody else is, they're moving in the direction of death. It's very hard. Lots of times you've got to get away from people to get a hold of God because people get moving in a direction. And the Christians that were there was one part of the family that were Christians. They were some of the worst ones of the bunch for moving with death. You know, Christians just seem to love to sometimes. They just get, you know, they hear a bad story and they're like, oh, they get gravitated to it. Tell a bad story. And, so, you know, we were there and we were with him, and I just said to Wanda, I said, Wanda, I'd love to pray for him here, but I said, man, you know, it's going to fall flat. It's just not. I said, I got to get out of here. I said, got to leave. So we left it, and we went and got in the car and started driving home. And we were driving and heading, we went down 322. I'll never forget. I was driving down 322, heading east, driving down through, to me, these things, experiences are like yesterday. I mean, I can almost remember everything. I can almost tell you what the area was looking like at the time. I mean, it just seemed like they just get... Because you get over in areas more spiritual than you are over in the natural of things. And I remember driving down through there, and I was talking to the Lord the way down, just talking to the Lord on the inside of me. Wanda's sitting in the seat beside me in the car, but I'm just frustrated. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I realize why this thing's going on and why it's happening. I understand his condition. But I said, you know, I said, this is my wife's family. And I said, this is a mess. And I said, but it's her family. And I said, this thing's going the direction. And I said, for her sake, I said, this is ending lousy. It's been nothing but lousy for years, and it's going down the tubes lousy. Because there's been a lot of family fussing and carrying on about things. And just, you know how it is in families, you know, that you get people, I don't care if there's any Christians in the bunch, when they're carnal, everything gets lousy. In fact, sometimes you get Christians involved, it's even more lousy if they're carnal. And I just pleaded God concerning Wanda. I said, you know, I said, Lord, this thing just ain't right. I said, you know, I said, for my wife's sake. And I'm just talking to him about that. And I'll never forget, just as clear as it happened, just rose up inside of me. The Spirit of the Lord said, he said, you go back and lay hands on him. And he said, I'll raise him up. I'll make his last days better than his first. He said, I can't do this for him. But he said, I'm going to do this because you ask me. I've found this many times. You can get things for people that are living outside. You can get things for them if you walk right. If you don't walk right, you can't get it for them. He said he would do that for my sake. He said he would do it for me. He said he couldn't do it for him. And this is one of the reasons, over the years, I've had this a number of times happen. We're praying and things were changed and turned around because the Lord said, you can ask me, I'll do it for you, but I can't do it for them. See, this is why you walk right. Because you're going to run into things in life, you're going to want it changed. You don't want it to go the direction. You know, you might live on and things are okay in a sense for you. But, you know, I look over to things and I thought, boy, Wanda's family, and you know, the Lord did great because he did. I think he lived 5 years beyond that. Things straightened out in the family. I mean, just things went the way they were supposed to go, the way people go along and die. It was the way it was supposed to happen. But it happened. Now, it isn't because I was doing anything great, but I was just walking and living in the light that God had given me. Walking and living in that light. You know, I'm not over there trying to practice in it. You know, and you need to understand this. There's a big difference when an individual sins and an individual practices sin. Read the New Testament, what it talks about people who practice sin. I don't care if they're a saint or a sinner. People get in the practice of sin, it's going to cause big trouble in their life. It's another thing for, you know, us to trip up. That's another story. You and I might trip up some and do something dumb and sin. But, you know, God ain't sitting over there, you know, saying, well, you just left the kingdom, man. But people who practice sin, they get out into the areas where they can't be blessed. So you never want to get over where you practice sin. You don't want to go there. And because, like this, from his standpoint, he had gotten born again, but his life was a practice of sin. Why? He didn't pay any attention to God. He just lived his own life. God said, this is how it turns out. Sometimes people wonder why. Sometimes it seems sinners have it better than some saints. And I'll tell you why. Because they don't walk in the light. They become a target. And the devil just eats their lunch. If anything he wants to do is destroy that person who doesn't live right, who knows God. He'll make them his favorite target. And do things. And really, that's what was going on in that family and in that life. That's what was happening. But you know, what the Lord said to me, he said, I can't do this for him, but I'm going to do this for you. I said, I'll do it for you. Hallelujah. And he did. God's good. And see, this is why I just encourage you. You want to walk inside, because when you walk inside, I will guarantee you this. If we would take from a natural standpoint of that father, you know, that father, he wasn't going out there as the prodigal son, going out there and blessing him out in that place. But I'll tell you what, there's only one reason that son came back, and that was somebody was in faith moving in a direction to bring him back. Somebody who's inside. Somebody who's inside the kingdom. You understand this? This is what prayer is about. Like, we talk about praying for the lost. A lost person doesn't have any right to get blessed. He's lost. Somebody in the kingdom starts praying for their blessing. And the Holy Ghost begins to draw that individual. If you ask the Holy Ghost to draw, they'll start to draw that individual. The Holy Ghost will begin to do that. And we need to understand this. This is why we want to live in a place, Lord, that we're living in the place of blessing. That if we ask God to do something, he will do it. And he'll do it just because you ask. Hallelujah. I've had many times along the lines of people and dealing with individuals and problems and things where I had prayed about certain things and the Lord asked me, how would you like it to turn out? What do you want to do with this? He asked me what I wanted to do with it. How would you like it to be? Man, I'm going to tell you, first time he did it, it doesn't just knock my socks off. I mean, I just like, whoa, they didn't preach this one. God asking you. But I found out about it. What do you want? How would you like to do it? And so I sat down and I thought about it for a while, you know. And this is one thing you want to do. God, you know what? If you're a person that makes lousy decisions, he ain't going to come and talk to you and ask you to make a decision. If you're a person that always makes fleshly decisions, he ain't going to come and talk to you. It would be the best decision to deal with a person. So he came and asked me how I'd like to have it turn out, what I want done. I told him. I even told him how to the day that I wanted the thing taken care of, and it happened exactly to the day I sent. You see, there's a blessing when you're in the kingdom. See, the church, we've limited ourselves. We've limited in our reach inside the kingdom. You know, that's why it looks so good on the other side. And people go over, and that's because they don't know. It's just like, I can see that their son, if that son that's living in the kingdom, if he don't get it right, he'll be out with the girls. He'll be out there doing it. If he don't understand it, he don't get it right, he'll get mad. Say, well, you know, God ain't dealing with me right. God isn't doing right. We walk with God for the blessing of others. You know, it tells us in Hebrews 1, we had read last week, 1:9 says, concerning Jesus, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. What did he do? The love of righteousness, the hatred of lawlessness. In other words, he loved the jurisdictions of God. God's jurisdictions is a place of righteousness. He hated lawlessness. He hated Satan's jurisdiction. See, and that's what we have to do. We can't have a love for the world and a love for the things that say, I love the things of God, but I have a love for what the world has. At the same time, people are drawn between the two, and they're sort of fighting this battle. But, you know, they want the anointing. See, you want the anointing. Every Christian, you know, look, we're all going to be in a place, and we're all going to have a certain measure of the anointing, but most people don't even have 0.1% that God wants them to have. Most Christians think the anointing is for some guy that stands and preaches. I've had greater anointings on me sometimes in my personal life dealing with a thing than I've had standing in the pulpit, laying hands on the sick, doing that kind of stuff. In my personal life, I've had the anointing of God come on me. I have never been in a place where anything was dealing, when I was around individuals and something came up, a danger of a person's life or anything like that, that the anointing of God doesn't drop on me. I learned what to do. You draw near to God, he draws near to you. And the anointing comes. Now you need the anointing. You know, we've made too many decisions without it. And learning to draw, and I learned how to draw near to God. Something comes, the first thing I don't think of, what you do in the natural. The first thing I look over, God, and I will ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want done here? Sometimes he'll speak to me and tell me, you do something, what would you do? Go ahead and take care of that. You do. I know, but there'll be an anointing there to do it. I've had it time and time again. I've had that happen. I've had that anointing come on me. I've had the anointing. When I worked at Reese's, we'd have sometimes with working around, we had problems with shutdowns and they wouldn't know what was going on, or they're out there, the electricians, mechanics are trying to find out what's the matter with equipment, find out what's going on. There's problems and they can't find them. And I would just start drawing near to God. God, what's going on? I'd start talking to the Lord. I'd start drawing near to Him. What's happening? All of a sudden, an anointing would come on me, and I'd have a knowing, that spirit of seeing and knowing. All of a sudden, I'd know what the problem was. You wouldn't believe how many times, I mean, I know some about electronics and stuff, and some things about, I know a little bit about mechanics. I know those that know things. In fact, I had more sense than some of our mechanics and our electricians did that worked at Reese's. Had more, but many times, it was outside my scope of knowledge, natural knowledge, and all of a sudden I'd know what was going on. And there's numbers of times that I went to either a mechanic or electrician and say, would you go check this out or that out? And they'd say, now that ain't the problem. I'd say, just humor me. I was the group leader in the department, so I could go ask them to do stuff. And I said, go check that out. And they'd go check it out and say, that's exactly what was wrong. How did you know that? And I'd tell them, God showed me that. And they'd go, oh, you know. I had that happen time and time again. Got things fixed. Didn't, you know, it just came to me. I've had many times at home, anointing come on me. You're dealing with something sometime in the house, trying to fix something, trying to figure out a way. How can I do this thing, you know, because, you know, sometimes you run into problems and you just can't get down and buy a product and just go ahead and take care of that. There's things, you got to figure out a way to do it. And many times I've had all of a sudden, wisdom came to me. And it rose up out of the inside of me. And all of a sudden, I knew exactly what to do. I just knew. I just had a thing happen with that just here not long ago. Just sitting around trying to figure out what to do with this. And I ran out of, till finally I got run out of my mind. And I just started to say, no, Lord, there is a way to do this and you know what it is. And it wasn't within a half an hour. All of a sudden, bang, it came to me. What to do, went, did it, worked wonderful. You know, and so, you know, God knows how to do things, and that's just right. Drawing near to God. So most people never draw near to God. They're always relying on their abilities. You know, I found out a long time ago, you draw nearer to God, draw nearer to God. One of the things that I find, it's bad. When you get a person educated in a certain area and you got a problem in that area, they will probably follow all of their wisdom till they fail, till they finally stop and ask God. You know, I've watched Christians in the medical field. They will always go with medicine first and go as far as they can with medicine first. They'll never stop, draw near to God, say, God, what about this? Now, there isn't nothing wrong with medicine, but the whole thing of it is you need to watch even whatever field you're in or what you're doing, that you are not relying on your knowledge all the time of everything along in that area, because it will be your great shortcoming. It'll be your great shortcoming. You want to get over in that area where you're relying on God, getting over in there. Now, all those things I said there for that, that's free. God, but I want you to understand that drawing nearer to God is what we need to do, because what happens when you get in, stay within the jurisdictions of God, when you're walking in those areas, see, you could be born again and really not moving over in the Spirit in contact with God, so you're not walking in the place of blessing. You're out here living out, operating just totally out of your mind about the thing, your thoughts about the thing. In other words, you're only going to do it to the way that you think about it. So we close the door to God, and within God's jurisdiction, He desires to bless us. He wants to bless us within the jurisdiction that He has us. Listen what Kenneth Hagin, Jesus Christ appeared to him in a vision and said this to him. He said, the Lord spoke this in a vision. He said, I bless all my people as far as I can. But the reason there is not the move of God, the depth of the flow of the Spirit, and the fullness of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit today is because men do not take time to follow my plan set forth in the Scriptures. The more closely you follow my plan, the more my power will be in demonstration and in manifestation. Now, I want to say this because it's talking, dealing with this area is following the plan of God. Number one, dealing with the plan of God laid out in the Scriptures. Because we need to understand this as following God. If you and I want to follow God, we must walk in line, first of all, with the jurisdiction of the Word. Of what the Word of God says. Not with what you were told the Word of God says. You know, you heard me say time and time again, Brother Hagin used to always say to us, he preaches things, he said, you go to the Word and find out if it's true. You go find out. You have to know. Many people today are following things that they were told, but they never check to see if they're true. And they're walking in it. They swear they're following God, but they're not. They were told, sir, you know. You know, it's just like the things, you know, baptism, Holy Spirit's a devil. You know, speaking in tongues is a devil. You know, they were taught those things. They don't ever check out the Word. Somebody told them that passed away. Therefore, they say, well, it passed away. They never read Scriptures to find out it didn't pass away. It never stopped. It was God's plan. Well, for healing and things like that. Well, Jesus did all those things to prove he was God. Well, he didn't do a very good job of it. They killed him. They didn't believe he was God, so he did a lousy job, didn't he? It wasn't what it was about. Israel always had a healing covenant. God's always been in the business of healing his people. He's always done that. That's the way it is. But see, people get over and they follow off into things and don't follow. You have to follow. Is what the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin is true. In other words, the jurisdictions of God will always fall within line with what His Scripture tells us to walk in. With what the Scriptures tell us that we were supposed to walk in. Now, if you look back, if we went to the Old Covenant, and we went over to Deuteronomy 28. Now, as you turn to Deuteronomy 28, I just want to say this. There's two areas with the will of God. The first will of God for you and me, the first will of God is the most basic aspect of God's will, and that's clearly, you know, recorded in the Word. The basics of what God does and how He works with people is in His Word. You will find it directly in Scripture. But now you need to understand this. There is another will of God too. You're going to have to seek God to find out for yourself concerning your own life and things, the will and purpose of God for you. I could not find any place in the Bible that ever told me Ed Gibson is supposed to be in the ministry. I can't find any place. I've read through, haven't found my name one time. Haven't had in there, Ed Gibson's going to be a preacher. Haven't had it. There's many things in my life. You know, I couldn't find it in Scripture anywhere. It told me to go to Bible school. I didn't find that nowhere in the Bible. I had to get close to God to find out what He wanted me to do. And you're going to have to do that. But don't bother doing that if you're not closely following the Word. Don't bother. Because if God told you what to do, you ain't going to do it anyhow. The way that you start off, one of the things that you really learn to come into the will of God, and this is the way that I learned, and I found out that anybody that I talk to that has developed in the areas, you start to learn to walk in line with God's will, which is stated in His Word. You start to walk in line with that. There's loads of things you don't need to pray 2 seconds about. You can go right to the Bible. It tells you how to act and what to do. It'll tell you what to do. You know, you don't need to pray and ask God if it's okay if you marry a sinner, because the Bible already tells you, don't be, we're not supposed to be joined together with unbelievers. It's clear. It don't tell you, well, it's okay, you're different. You see, people, they're always, come along. But see, people do things that put them outside the will of God. They're not following the Word. Then they're over here praying and say, and I know people have done this. People have gotten outside the Word of God, and they knew that they were called to certain things, but they never ever walked in that calling. And the reason they didn't, because they're always outside the Word. God can never use them in the place that He wants to use them in, because they always walk outside the Word. It hugely affects you walking outside the Word of God. Hugely affect your life. And we need to know this. It's one thing, this is why the practice, I learned over the years to practice to walk in line of what the Word says. If I'm in line with the words, what the Word says, then I can go to God, and if I want to know anything about His will or me to do, He'll talk to me about it. See, He says this, if you ain't been faithful with the little, who's going to make you ruler over much? If you haven't been faithful to follow the Word of God written out for you, He's not going to, why would He give you more? Why would you need more anointing to not do the will of God? I mean, this is a lot of people. People think that if I get the anointing, then I'll do God's will. No, you won't. If you don't do the will of God, you don't do it with the anointing either. The anointing don't make you do the will of God. People misuse and abuse the anointing of God all the time. I watch ministers do it. I have seen ministers abuse the anointing that's on them. They don't walk in light of the Word of God, and they abuse and use that. They use it as manipulation. They use it. We say, I've heard people over the years say, you can't misuse the things of God. Wake up, space cadet. So when I heard say that, say, man, you ain't lived 2 seconds on the face of the earth. People misuse the things of God all the time. People get the anointing on. I watched a minister one time. He had died really prematurely. He was back in the 1950s. He was one of the foremost prophets at that time. Watched him. They had a video, films of him. They had the old, real films. They weren't back there done it. Digital. So, but they had films of him in his ministry and ministering. I mean, some of the most incredible miracles you'd ever see in your life. The anointing of God would come on him. I mean, phenomenal things. There was no question. It's miraculous. I mean, it's no question God's doing things and healing people. That one instance I saw, they brought a guy in, and he was literally a skeleton with skin stretched over. You could see every bone he had in his body. I'm serious. This man, they had him laying there, and they showed a video of it. I mean, his head was nothing but a skull with skin stretched over, and his eyes. I mean, it found someone's in a haunted house somewhere. I'm serious. This guy, if he wouldn't have moved at all, you would have swore he was dead. But he hadn't been able to eat solid food or anything for I get how long it was. He would throw everything up, and doctors didn't know why or what was going on. They brought him to the meeting, in an ambulance. They put him down in front of the place, and they had him down there with these. There's other people sick down there, and they put him down there. Now, this guy comes out to minister. He don't specifically know who's out there he's going to be ministering to or what. He doesn't know. He comes walking out on stage, but he knows. He comes walking out on stage. He's holding 2 sandwiches and a little bottle of milk. They had bottles of milk. They didn't have cartons at that time. They still had the little, remember the little bottles years ago? Yeah. He walks out with a little bottle of milk, and he says, you see this man down here? He said, before we end here tonight, he's going to eat these two sandwiches and drink this bottle of milk. Oh man, you'd have thought, from a natural standpoint, yeah, if he does it, they'll bury him then right, they'll dig the hole right there and put him in it. And you know, from a natural standpoint, you know, he says this. So he goes up and he starts to preach. He's walking back and forth and he's preaching. And while he's there preaching away, all of a sudden he stops. He walks down to this guy, lays his hands on him, prays. Now, you don't hear much of anything. He's just down there quietly praying over this guy. Then he goes back up and starts preaching again. He's up and preaches and preaches. He walks down again, goes down, lays hands on this guy, prays for him a while, prays a while, and goes up and starts preaching. He ends his sermon and then goes, tells this guy, now, you need to get up, come up here. And he said, this guy got right up off of that thing. Now, you know it was a miracle he stood. My God. It took a miracle to make the man stand. And he came up and he stood there. I mean, this bone rack, man, that's all he was. And they turned around and, you know, opened the sandwich. And he stood there and ate the sandwiches. He said it's the first solid food that he had eaten. I forget how long. It was a long time. He drank the milk completely whole, completely well. He did that. But now watch what he did. This great anointing is on this man. The first thing he did was he stopped ministering, took an offering. Oh, sure, you can get money out of people. You do. Most people wouldn't know the Spirit of God. Oh, you know, they see something like that happen, they'd write more checks for more money than a little bit. That's why these guys died young. You go back to and look in the 50s, the healing revivals, the majority of the big-name ministers back in that time died young, very young. Some of them in their late 20s, early 30s, some of them. They died. Why? Misuse of the anointing. Taking the glory to yourself. See, taking the glory yourself, everybody takes it to think of, oh, I'm just, you know, I give myself credit for what's going on. No, taking the glory yourself is using, you can use the anointing for your own benefit. Rather, the anointing comes on you for one purpose. It's to bless somebody. It's to help. It's not to make you a big deal. It's not so you can get more money in your pocket. There's ministers, they want anointings. I'm going to tell you what. I've heard ministers sitting around about talking about anointings to take offerings. I'm going to tell you what. And I watch them. I watch their fleshly taking offerings and call it anointing and how to get your money into my pocket. You know, I believe a person could. I believe you could be anointed to do things if you do it right. I believe you could. I believe you could. But I ain't seen much of it. I've seen mostly men doing their things. But we need to understand is the difference is why you can misuse the anointing. God didn't intend for him to take an offering up with that. God put that anointing on to bless people. It's not to bless him. And see, this is why we need to be very careful in these areas, staying within the jurisdiction of God. Now, all that was free concerning those things because people get strange ideas about if I get the anointing on me, it's going to change things. No, it's not. Not if you're not walking in the will of God. If you're not walking in his general will in Scripture. In Deuteronomy 28, this is what God told them. And I'm going to read the first two verses. Deuteronomy 28, he said, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, the word of God that was given to them, they had to follow that word. They had to follow what God said in the words that he gave them. They must follow them to be blessed. They can't say, well, you know, we're not following that, but I love the Lord, and, you know, I'm asked after God. I want, you know, I'm searching after. No, we love God through doing his word. We practice. So he told them. Now, if you go on and read the rest of it, it tells you what the blessings. Then it goes on and tells you what the curse is if you don't do it. You know, why people would think today that I don't have to follow the word of God because we're so-called under grace and I'll get blessed anyhow. That's crazy. Now, in Joshua, we find it again. Joshua, this is what God told Joshua. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may what? You may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, the word of God would keep Joshua. He's telling Joshua, Joshua, if you stick to what the law of Moses was given to you, you stick to that rules, what God told you to do and how to follow, what you're supposed to do. If you do that, you're going to prosper and you'll have a successful life. Why? Because you're going to be staying within the limitations of God where the blessing is. You're walking and living in the place of blessing. How do you do that? By following what the Bible says. See, when today we have ministers and ministries standing up and saying, well, you know, the Word, this stuff don't fit today. No, this is for the old in the past. It don't fit for us today. Well, I want to tell you, there's a New Testament. In the New Testament, this is what James said. If you've noticed, I do a lot of talking and using James, because James is not used today. Because James will straighten you out. That's why most of the church never preaches on James, because people leave the church, you talk too much James. Oh no, I can't live in the flesh, I can't live like hell. Well, this is what James says. James in the first chapter, verse 21, James is the brother of Jesus. This is not James the Apostle James. This is James, the brother of Jesus. He was the head of the church in Jerusalem. He wrote this, therefore lay aside all filthiness. He's writing to Christians. What are we supposed to do? Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. He's talking to Christians. The saving the soul has nothing to do with getting born again. It has to do with, over at Romans is 12, 1 and 2. It's about getting your mind renewed with the word of God. It's about presenting your body a living sacrifice. In other words, getting in line with the Word of God. Just like the Jew was told, under the law, he had to get in line with what God's Word said if he wanted to have the blessing. So he told him, you do this, the implanted words, what is able to save your soul. You want your mind renewed? You're going to have to get in line with the Word. Many people are trying to get their minds renewed without doing what the Word says. One of the greatest things of getting your mind renewed is convincing your mind that the Word is right. If you do what the Word says, you'll get blessed. If you'll start walking in it. You'll never come to faith in the Word till you start practicing the Word. If you're waiting to practice the Word till you believe it's all so, I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to ever do nothing. You know, when I see something the Word says it's true, I say it's true. Whether I believe it or think it's so or not, it's true. If the Word says do this, then we're going to do that. That's what we do. You know, it's some simple things about what we just decide to do. We don't need a vision. We don't need a light shine out of heaven and hit you on the head. Maybe a hammer once in a while, but you'll need light come out of it. In fact, if the Bible says it's so, I'm going to start to practice it. I'm going to start to do it. That's how I learned about divine health and walking over the areas of divine health. I learned by starting to practice the Word, and I'll tell you what, from a believing standpoint, I was low on the believing side, but the Bible said to do certain things. I started doing them, and I found as I started practicing to do them, you know, one of the big things that brought to my mind is because when my mind started to understand we were doing the Word, things started to work, my mind didn't bother me so much. Most people are waiting to get everything under control, then I'm going to do what it says. Forget it. Your mind don't get under control that quickly. I would just start to practice a word. My mind, I'm going to tell you, sometimes from a standpoint, natural fear would want to come on me. And I just say, no. Wait, the Bible says to do this, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. Why? Israel was told if they did the word, they would be blessed. Listen what James went on to say in verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you know what the Word says to do and you don't do it, the devil did not deceive you, you did. You deceived you. See, you can deceive you from walking in the parameters that God called you to walk in for your blessing. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He says, for he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. If you don't do the Word, he said, you're like a person that looks in the mirror and you forget what you look like when you left. Well, how are you going to get your mind renewed if you don't have to do the Word first? You start practicing what the Bible says. You need to start. This is why I get people over there, they're trying to, you know, I want to tithe, but they're trying to work through till they really get in faith about tithing. If you don't start to do it, you'll never get your mind renewed to it. It's that simple. You know why? Because you continually, what you become is the guy looking in the mirror and walking away and forgetting. You look in the Word, you see what it says, and forget it. It says to do it, but I'm going to renew my mind not doing it. No, you need to do to renew the mind. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but what? A doer of the work. He does what the Word says. What is that person? This one will be blessed in what he does. Does it say he will be blessed in what he believes? I'm going to tell you, if you get that revelation today, it'll take you a long ways. Most people ain't got a believing problem, they got a doing problem. It's because they say, yes, I believe what the Bible says, but they ain't never done it. The Lord taught me a long time ago about the doing. See, you folks heard me, you know, and I'd ask the Lord about, you know, because Kenneth Hagin was teaching about doing the Word. He was talking about doing the Word of God. And you know, it wasn't registering on me. I said, well, Lord, how do I do it? I woke up one morning to go to H.B. Reeves Candy Company to work, and man, as they called sick as a dog, I was sick as a dog. And also, I never said a thing, just thought it in my mind. I'll call off work, but I'll believe God that I'm healed. And immediately the Holy Spirit rose up inside of me. Said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? Man, I quoted to him, you know. Yes, I said, I did. In fact, I quoted to him. I said, yes, I believe it's true. And the Holy Spirit said to me, well, then you act like it. See, what he's going to teach me is to do the Word. See, I believed what it said, but I wasn't going to get healed because I believed what the Word said. You need to understand this. Believing ain't the beginning or end of anything. It's part of. He said, well, why don't you act like it's true? And man, it all of a sudden dawned on me. I had not seen it. Like, all of a sudden it dawned on me. I got to act like I'm healed now. I can't act like I'm sick. Send me flowers. Come and pat me and pet me and pour on you. Oh, wanted to take care of the sick guy in bed over here. And just say, oh, let's believe God together. The Spirit of the Lord said to me, he said, if you call off work, he said, you're going to stay sick all day in bed. That's what he told me. I thought, God, what? Where's this love at, man? Well, he's telling me how to get blessed. He's telling me what to do. And I'll tell you what, it worked. It didn't work instantaneously. I would have liked it to. But I got out of bed, still feeling sick. Got dressed, got ready for work, feeling bad. Went out and got in the car. Don't even know. I might have even felt worse. I don't know. I remember getting in the car, started driving to work, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is going to be a trip to work. You know, your mind's over here in a place. I'm thinking, no, I'm doing the Word. God said, so I'm following what God said. I'm obeying. See, what he spoke to me, what he told me, I'm obeying it. Understand this. What God tells you to do, he's going to hold you as accountable for it as what's written in the book. If you know you're supposed to do something, God told you, and you ain't doing it, you're in disobedience. I mean, that's the way it is. I've been there, so get over it. You ain't the only one in town. But I remember driving to work. Until I got to work, every symptom had left and had gone. And when I found out that thing worked, once I found out that thing worked, that changed everything with the battle in my mind. Once my mind found out that thing worked, now my inner man and my mind were wrestling down my flesh. Because when my flesh would say, oh no, we don't want to do that. I don't want to get up out of bed when I'm feeling bad. I don't want to do that. Oh no. My inner man and my mind would say, you're getting out of bed, you moron. We're not staying sick all day. Most people, this is what they battle with. Their unrenewed mind and their flesh. And they side against their spirit because they won't do what the Word says. Do what the Bible says. Do what he says to do. You wouldn't believe some of the things where I got up and got people to say, oh my God, you're crazy. You could die. Just like the thing with, if anybody would have been around, most believers would have ever been around when I had my heart attack, they would have had me dead as quick as they could. Because they'd be telling, I'll guarantee you, people would tell me crazy. I mean, what right man in his right mind goes, puts on a pair of jogging shorts and some shoes and goes for a run when he's having a heart attack? You want to, you know, people say they want a miracle. Miracles aren't done by sitting around doing nothing. Miracles do not come in that manner. The children of Israel didn't need a miracle until, you know, the Egyptians were on them to kill them. And they were down by the sea and no place to go. You don't need a miracle when you're camped out there and you don't plan on doing nothing. When you're still in Egypt, you don't need a miracle. See, we need to understand. I pray that you get it. See, you follow the Word of God. Follow what the Word tells you to do. Follow it diligently. The Word says, if Israel, under the law, would practice the Word and all those blessings would come on them, what would it be for a Christian? See, I always feel sorry for the prodigal son, the older son. He don't know what doing the word is. He don't know. He don't understand about the blessing of doing. He's out there living on a low level. Don't get about the doing. He's over there, you know, I'm just being a slave over here. It's just like the children of Israel. God, through miracles, brought them out of Egypt, but could never get Egypt out of them. And they stayed in Egypt the whole time they lived in that land, and today they're still living in Egypt. See, we need to understand this stuff. We need to get it. You got to live in the land. You got to come over into God's jurisdiction. It's the place of faith. It's the place of blessing. And you need, if you're doing what the Word says, you need to be talking all the time of how blessed you are and how God will do the things for you and what He will do. You need to talk it because it's all true. If you're living in that land, if you're living and you're staying within the jurisdiction of God, if you get out of it and you need to repent and get back in and get the confession right about the whole, you're in the land. This is the place of blessing. See, when we come back here from Oklahoma and move back to this area, when God told us to come here, I didn't want to come to Lebanon at all. I didn't want to have nothing to do with Lebanon. You know, say, God, you know, send somebody else to Lebanon. Can you find Jonah? Send him. Anybody. I don't want to go to Lebanon. You know, I left Lebanon, and glory to God, when I left, it was a big smile on my face. I never thought God was sending me someplace. It's going to be hard. I thought Lebanon was the hard place. I thought this area. And God sent me here, and He told me to come back. And then on top of it, He never spoke to me ever about being a pastor or or starting a church. And I get back here, He tells me to start a church. That made Ed real happy. Oh, my God. I was Mr. Thrilled about that one. And so I got in disobedience and didn't move for a while, about 9 months. And then I'd pray and talk to Him about my will, and here was His answer to me one day. He said, get up off your feet. I told you what to do. You know what to do, and don't you ever talk to me about it again. And I said, yes, sir. My God. I thought if I asked again, lightning would hit me or something. I said, man, I ain't talking about that no more. I do catch on. I'm amazed. Some people go 10 years, and they still don't catch on. So I'm pretty quick. I'm pretty fast. I only went for 9 months trying to get another will. But I started to do it, but there's one thing I learned. When I accepted the will of God, I knew this. If I'm in the will of God, then that's the place of my blessing. See, this is one thing, and you need to learn to do this, whether you're on a job. It's like when I was at Reese Candy Company. When I got saved, I would work there. I worked as a heathen for a number of years, and I got saved and worked there for a number of years. And being saved there for a number of years is one thing is this. I wanted to know that this is where God wanted me to work. This is what I was supposed to do. And the Lord talked to me about it. He said, I want you to stay there. You just stay put where you're at. You stay there. And I knew this fact, that was my place of blessing. And I'm going to tell you what, it worked. Wanda and I were constantly blessed. Constantly blessed. Because why? I'm in the will of God. This is what God told me I'm supposed to be working. If what you're doing, find out. If God wants you there at the time, fine. God tells you where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. This is your place of blessing. From there, all your needs, He will have to provide every one of them. If He don't, He's a liar. And see, Wanda and I began to... I worked at Reese Candy Company, and at that time, I was the only one that worked. Wanda didn't work. She was home with the kids. I was the only one that worked. And all these people said, well, you just can't make it doing that. You can't make it doing that. I said, well, this artist said, God will have to bless us. I work with people where both of them worked at Reese's. They made twice as much money as I did, and we went more places and did more things than they ever did. Why? Because they didn't know where they were or what they were at. But God blessed us. God did wonderful things for us. We had vacations and stuff, things that God did for us and did things. In my words, money came into us to do stuff. And I have people Reese's, they said, how can you go these places? How can you do this thing? I said, God's good to us. I'd always tell them, it's God. I always give God. God's do. That's what, see, and the place of blessing. Well, I knew when I came back here, God said this is what I was supposed to do. He has to provide my finances. Not just the church providing me finances. God is the end responsibility of it all. As people say, well, people won't give. I don't care. God sent me here, and if I'm in His will, if He don't take care of me here, I ain't following Him nowhere. You can't trust Him. God's always, always, always has gone over and above. Always. Always. And see, it's getting in that place as you find out, I'm in the will of God. I'm doing what God told me to do. See, it's one, if things came along and problems started arising, was one thing as I learned that, I asked God, God, have I missed it somewhere? Is it because I missed it? Sometimes you can just be under attack because you've just been a nice guy. You know, that'll happen. Devil will show up and knock on your door, try to do something. I would ask, say, Lord, have I missed it anywhere? See, if I missed it, I'm outside the blessing. I want to know it because, see, if I get back in on the blessing, I can ask whatever I will and it shall be done for me, for my Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. So I find out, first of all, am I in the will? Am I in God's will? If I'm in God's will, it belongs to me. I can ask for anything. And I always find, make sure, mind the will. Lord, if there's anything I need to change or do, you let me know. I will do it. I'll do it. And see, staying in the will of God, this is why it's so important. It isn't a matter of you never miss it. Now, if you have to never miss it, some Christians get into legalism. Number one, you'll miss it sometimes. Sometimes you won't do the will of God perfectly. You know, get over it. The whole thing is we're walking by faith and we're learning how to do it. You don't want to get over it, though. There's things you can do in getting over in the devil's kingdom. You know, you can get over. The Bible tells us things we are not supposed to be doing. We don't get into all the sexual stuff and all these kinds of things and crazy stuff going on out here today. You get into that kind of stuff. You get into all kinds of, you don't get into lying, cheating, and stealing because it'll catch you. You don't get into those kinds of things because those things are very detrimental to you as a Christian, to stopping the blessing of God. So you want to walk right, live right, do what's right in those areas. But we need to know this. We do sometimes miss the mark. Well, repent. But I've always learned to ask God, God, if I missed it. If I've missed it in an area, I want to know. If I missed it and it's put me outside, I want to know that my faith is going to work. I don't want to be standing over in the devil's territory and trying to get a blessing from God. And you don't want to do that too. You want to walk in the place of blessing. So ask, you know, ask God. I always do. Lord, things are going along and nothing's changing. Lord, I want to know, where am I at? Now, you understand, I'm talking about dealing with myself about my things. I can't change everything for everybody else. You know, sometimes we pray for other people, but sometimes, man, you know, you pray for, I prayed sometimes for some people. I prayed things about them for years. And there's some things that I prayed about and the Lord told me, leave it alone. Just let it go. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you just got to let some things go and let it go. And that doesn't mean it's going to turn out bad. Sometimes it doesn't, but sometimes it comes to the point you need to let it go. And you have to learn to do those things, getting over in the will of God, finding out the will of God about things. But I want to encourage you, stay, get into the Word of God. Begin to walk in the light of what the Word says to do is do it. Just act like the Word's true. Start acting like the Word is really true. I began here at this, when God told me to come here, I began to say, and this is my place of milk and honey. This is the place where I live, where I'm at, and this is where God provides my need. This is my land. This is the land where I'm not saying Lebanon belongs to me, but it's my land where I live in. Just like the children of Israel, when they got to the land, that land was the place of milk and honey. That was the place of their blessing. It's just like here. This is the place of my blessing. I wasn't going down to Lebanon to a place where you get sick more often. That's not, if I'm here and I'm in this place, this is the place of my blessing. This is the place of my soundness of mind, my healing. This is the place where if I'm walking in the will of God, being here because He called me here, then I'll always have the money I need. I'll always have whatever. My prayers will always get answered. This is the place. And so I'm here in the place. And here I am, Lord God. Lord, if I'm disobedient, you show me. I'll get back in line with what the Word says to do. And so do that. Learn to do that. Learn to stay within His jurisdiction. When you're in His jurisdiction, and you know it, if God hasn't told you, you ain't supposed to do something else, well, then you just stay with what you're doing, and that's the thing of your blessing. You know, so many people are trying to figure out why ain't things working. Well, the reason things ain't working, because most people don't see themselves as blessed. They're trying to get blessed. They don't see themselves that they're in the jurisdiction. They're like the sun, always waiting for God to just drop it on top of them. He's not going to drop it on top of you. You have to take it. He never went out. He could have had as many fatted calves as he wanted. He could have had as many goats as he wanted. They all belonged to him, and he wasn't using none of them up and mad because one of them got used up. Don't do that. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.